Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church on a nice, cool summer morning, right? Amen. Hey, we've got some, the humidity has gone down some, and God is good, is he not? Yeah, even when it's hot, even when it's humid, he's always good. May I just remind us this morning of a little bit of scripture found in Isaiah 55 before we stand to sing here in just a moment. Isaiah 55, 1a says, "Ho," or "Listen up, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters." Jesus offers cold water, and it's a refreshing water that he gives us, the water of his word. So I hope that you'll be refreshed today in the water of the word. But also in verses 6 and 7 of that chapter is a great admonition, which says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That's the God I serve this morning. That's the God I'm thankful for today. God loves you dearly. He wants you to draw close to him sooner than later. He wants us today. And so in that venue this morning, let's stand. Welcome to our services. If you have a hymnal, number 656, otherwise it's on the screen, "Send the Light." And we're here today as reflectors of the light of the world, who is Jesus. And we are not here just to sit around and absorb time and space. We're here to deliver the message that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So here we go. There's a calm comes raining o'er the restless waves, send the light. Souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, shine from shore to shore, the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the only call today, send the light, and a golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light, send the light, send the light, gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, the light, the blessed gospel. For prayer. Again, welcome to our service this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come today before your throne on the basis and merit of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this day that you've set aside, Lord, as a day that's special. All days are special in you for a purpose and an intended reason. And so, Lord, today we know we don't have to search for those reasons, but we know from your word why we're here. And if we're born-again believers here today, we know that we have been called to be reflectors of you, the light of the world. Lord, there is no darkness in you whatsoever. You are pure light. You're pure. You're the sinless one who came to rescue sinful man from the darkness of sin. Lord, help us to be ever aware of our privilege to go out and share the gospel of the light of the world, who is Jesus. Now, I thank you for all that have come out this morning. We pray yet for some that may be en route. Lord, I pray today that you'll work in the lives of the folks here, that your spirit will have free reign and free course. And yet today, Lord, as always, we have people that are missing. We have a whole community here around our doors. Many of them are not here, Lord. And we pray for the community of Fruitland, Muscatine, every place that we reach here, Lord. Columbus Junction, wherever the town may be, Wilton. But Lord, we pray that the light will shine brightly here at this lighthouse called Fruitland Baptist Church. Now, Lord, also today we have to realize that we're sinners. And I trust everyone in this room has been saved by grace, but if not, it's there today freely. And I pray someone might be called if that would be the case. But Lord, we understand this, that we need your forgiveness. And Lord, we need to keep up to date with our sin. But we're thankful, as it says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to draw near. Now, Lord, we know there are several in our number that are experiencing grief, others that are ill. Lord, there are many things going on, family situations, heartbreak, many things, Lord, that affect the plight of man. We pray today that we would again go to you, the great physician, for all of our needs, and that this service would be found pleasing and glorifying in your sight, O Lord. I pray these things now in the most wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Today we're going to move on. We do not have a third hymn today, but today we're going to move on to announcements. And let me just stress this, that tonight there is no evening service, but there is a quarterly business meeting. And in a congregationally run church, we have to have those at times. So pray about that meeting. That doesn't mean we're going to forget the Lord and take off the gloves and have a fight. No, we're not going to do that, but we're going to put him first. And we will have a devotional tonight, but if you're involved in the decision-making here at Fruitland Baptist Church, this is a meeting that is a vital thing to attend because it has to do, once again, with the operation and future of this local church. So be here at 6 o'clock sharp because we are going to hit the ground running, and we'll move as best we can. There is an agenda and some minutes on the back table that you need to be aware of. Also, there's a retreat, men's retreat meeting at 4:30 today out in Fellowship Hall. And we are very thankful, aren't we, for this air conditioning. Yeah, we had a failure in part of the building later in the week, and so we're so thankful today that we have it fully restored. By the way, I'm old enough to remember when there was no such thing as air conditioning in the church buildings, and we thought it was quite good when we had large electric fans, but I remember also the Harry B. Griffith Funeral Home fan that was in the pews. Kay, could you imagine that? Through the whole service. Kim? Anyway, we could go back to old times. I'm sure there'd be a lot of people complaining. Anyway, deacons meeting this Thursday. Well, women's Bible study Saturday at 10 o'clock, June 19th. Deacon meeting this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. Wilton Bible study the 24th at 6. Men's Bible study June 26th at 9 o'clock. Anyone interested in doing special music, please let Jeff or Autumn know. You'll see my thought for the week. By the way, I never explained the one from last week. It said something to the effect, if all the merchandise is out on the shelves, there's nothing left in the warehouse. Anyone want to interpret that?
Don't advertise.
We'll settle for that, Kim. You're sharp this morning, dear, on that. It has to do with a lot of things, folks. It has to do with how we handle ourselves, how we dress ourselves, how we use our tongues. It applies to a lot of things. And it is original with me, so there's a copyright on it. But it's actually what God tells us, just not in those words. Thought for the week, sin and weeds have much in common. I know a lot about both. One of either left to grow leads to multiple reproduction in the future. If you need some hands-on experience, come and join me. I'll show you how to hoe out weeds. Anyway, is there anything else we need to let be made known this morning before we move on? All right, then as we go to prayer this morning, again, I encourage us to turn our hearts to meditate on the Lord and His goodness to us today. Take time to drink in some of that cool, refreshing water from Isaiah 55:1. The water that washes us is the Word, and Jesus Christ is the living water. He's that cool, refreshing drink on a hot summer's day. Meditate on that, but also, again, bring your heart before the throne this morning as we get ready to hear the Word of God, that the Spirit will be active and will work in the hearts of the people. I do love you, folks. It's a great day to be together, right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to prayer. Again, if you have offerings, there's a receptacle in the back. And we're just going to go and thank the Lord now for the opportunity. Lord, thanks again for this wonderful day. Lord, may we never take for granted anything that you do for us. And Lord, may we be constantly aware of your providential care for the believer and your love for the sinner. So Lord, I pray this will be a big day in all of our lives, that we were able to gather here and that we were able to take a few moments, Lord, to focus clearly on you today. We thank you for your power of the Holy Spirit and for the indwelling of the Spirit in the life of the believer. And Lord, as we study that today, I pray once again we'll understand more fully what a wonderful thing it is that you've given us in your third personality of the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. Now, Lord, today also there is an opportunity to give to you. We know that we learn giving from you, Lord, because you gave it all. And you're a God who is a giver, not a taker. So, Lord, today, as we consider laying gifts at your throne, we pray, first of all, Lord, that those gifts would be given with the right heart motive, but also, Lord, that those gifts would be used properly to glorify you and return the thanks to you from what you've done. So I pray for our hearts today as we make that decision, and that it would be something that is expressed with heartfelt gratitude to you, O Lord. We could never give enough, Lord. We cannot outgive you. You're the ultimate giver in all things. Now, Lord, I just pray you'll bless us today, and may we enjoy this fellowship. Lord, it's dress rehearsal for heaven. One day we're going to be with you. That trumpet may sound any day, or you may take us in death, Lord. But we look forward to what you have prepared. And I know this too, Lord, that the temperature in heaven will be perfect. But I also know this, Lord, there's no air conditioning in hell. We've got reasons to be here. And we have reasons, Lord, to bring you glory and to share your love with others. Now I pray you'll bless our time. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Jason here has some inspiring music for us this morning that should direct us again towards the Lord. And so we thank you, Jason. Present that to us today.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Guitar got out of tune here in the air conditioning. One of us has to be in tune for a song to go through, usually. All right. Hopefully it's the guitar. And hopefully me this morning, too. The song I brought today is a song called Enough. And I forget who wrote it. But the first time I heard this song, I kind of thought, well, this guy's singing like he has it all together. You know, because the Lord is enough for him in everything. And you know what? He should be. The Lord should be enough. But I know our sermon today was going to be about Christian living, and I think we're doing the Holy Spirit again today. But, you know, without the Holy Spirit, Christian living would be pretty hard. You know, and it all knits together. And anyway, none of us have it together. Even with the Holy Spirit, none of us are perfect. And I think all of us, you know, have to look in our spiritual mirror and say, you know, are we really truly relying upon the Lord for everything? And we rely upon the Lord for life. We rely upon the Lord, you know, as a lover of our souls, for salvation through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, that we can live a righteous life. And that's just scratching the surface as to what we rely upon him for. And this song is about, I think, kind of looking at yourself and saying, is this really where I am? Because it's where we should be. Amen. You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for, Jesus. Still more awesome than I know, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, you're my everything, Jesus. Still more awesome than I know, and all of you. All of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. All of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're more than enough, Jesus. You're more than enough. You're more than enough.
Amen. Praise God. grace was sufficient for all his needs, but David also told us in the 23rd Psalm that his cup ran over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've got a green light, Jeff, but it got switched to mute. Sorry, that happens. I find myself on a short leash most of the time, and that includes with this microphone. If you'll notice, when you sit down, sometimes things get pulled. Is it right now, Jeff? Thank you. Well, that's a rare thing that things are right with me, right? Anyway, greetings today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust that you've been thinking in these days that God has given us. You know, I mentioned in the prayer earlier there about some of the comments that we hear and so forth. I am getting just a bit of a ring up here, guys. I don't know if maybe that's just me. Anyway, you hear this comment on the street so much. It's hotter than or it's colder than. Neither of those statements are true. Danny and I were talking yesterday morning after men's Bible study. Something else. I know as I've been out on the golf course, I've had to drink a lot of water. No, I haven't been to the golf course. You know where I've been. I've been out with my hoe. Hoeing. But you know what? There's no water in hell either. Now you explain this to me, how the Bible says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happens when there's weeping? Usually tears. But see, that's how miserable that place is going to be. That's why we're going to keep proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And that's why Jesus paid that price for us today. It's for the taking. He gave us a gift. And that's why we never give up. But oh, the things that people say. How many of you look at Days of Praise once in a while, the little devotional? It's in the back. Anyone of you notice what was in there today? It was all from the book of Proverbs. It hit me hard about the tongue. But the things that we say, it's hotter than, it's colder than. Oh my. Anyway, enough of that, right? We have a reason to be very joyful. If one of them alone is that this is part three of a message I've tried to preach now for three weeks and to finish it, and Jeff is indeed correct on that. Today was family, was a theme on Christian life. But we'll have to back that up for a week, and these things happen, but we have to keep caught up on things. And you know I have a hard time with that anyway. But I love you folks, and so let's go to the Word this morning. The title of the message is The Ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, as Pertaining to the Saved. There's a note sheet in the back. Does anyone need that if you're here for the first time? We're glad for everyone, too, if you're visiting. We're glad for you to be here. Anyone need a sheet? I think we filled all the blanks in, haven't we? No, we haven't. You'll hear them today, Lord willing. Let's go to prayer. Father, may you bless our time in the Word today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the convictor, the indweller, all the operations of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us, Lord, never to take that for granted. And again, Lord, to be aware of His ministry in our lives. I just pray today, Lord, again, that you'll speak to the hearts, that there will be results today for you, and, Lord, that we'll leave here different than how we came. But my prayer is that we'll be edified today through the teaching and preaching of the Word. Well, Lord, with that said, you know me. I'm up here. I'm the weak link in the chain. I'm the faulty one. Lord, we are looking at Moses this morning, excuse me, in our junior-senior high class, and there's a lot of excuses, but we know this, Lord, you never make excuses. You just tell us to what? To do what you told us to do, and you'll help us. And so I'm going to count on that today again for me, Lord, and for all the rest of us in this room. And we'll give you the glory, and Lord, pray that you'll not only bless us, but that we'll be a blessing to you today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, anyway, today we're going to be starting with point F on point 2, sub-point F, I should say, technically. And, you know, how often do you dwell on God's bestowments of His grace in your life? Isn't it interesting how often we tend to complain about the things that we perceive as being a shortfall in our life rather than to give God the glory about the things that He's blessed us with innumerably. And honestly, here today, folks, I don't think any of us are short on anything except in the places where we've infringed upon what God wants to give us, right? Because just as we talked earlier, and as Jason sang, He's sufficient, but His sufficiency is an abundance. But you know what I have written here, just as our introduction today, and no, I don't have any stories about running the cars in the old days on the highways and the places to go to proof test them, even though that model still is here. How many of you have proof tested what God's done through the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I'd have to say today, probably none of us have allowed Him to have the free rein that He would have if we weren't restricting Him. But consider today, there is a stewardship of our recognition of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we've been given wonderful gifts and we've been given wonderful operations of the Spirit in our lives. How much do we appreciate it and how much do we acknowledge it and how much do we allow the Lord to work in our lives? That's a question I have for us today. And I know that this is not, you know, maybe the message that people like to hear in modern times, but sometimes we just need to look at what we've been doing here, at the promises of the Word, and let it be enough. No fancy speaking. Of course, you never get that from me. but just the promises. So today, and it's nice and cool in here, isn't it? Let's take a look at the rest of this. And as I said, it's okay to copy here at Fruitland. It's really not ever okay to cheat. But if anyone needs to fill in these blanks, this is a good guide here, again, to show us these endowments, these bestowments of God's grace and His love toward us through the Holy Spirit, and to recognize that we have a stewardship not to blow away the good stuff He's given us. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, when we do that, we just squelch His power within us. And I believe this, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of people, things are going to happen. And they're going to be good things that are going to happen for the Lord. And so I say today, do it, Spirit. Do it, Lord, through the hearts of the believers. We're not done yet, but we've got a lot to do. Amen? So let's begin today on point F, subpoint F on point 2. And here's one of the big things. And again, I can only give you a few texts today, but Romans 8, 26 through 27, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. How many of you need prayer? I've heard all kinds of people say, yes, I do too. And we ask other people to pray, and that's not wrong, but have you ever forgotten that the Holy Spirit never forgets to pray for our needs? He's active before the Father's throne. Let's take a look at that this morning. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans 8, 26 through 27. Hear the words of the Lord here. Likewise, Paul writes, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Because what Paul's telling us here is that we are not perfect prayers before God. You can have your these and thous, and by the way, you don't need any of that. Real prayer is just communion with God as you're walking through life. I've been talking with Him out there hoeing. You know, you can learn a lot out there with a hoe. You really can. I'll tell you what, it'll teach you about the sin curse. It'll teach you the blessings of God. It'll teach you, well, a lot of things. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. By the way, we heard last week, the Spirit Comforter, the word parakletos, He's the one that comes alongside, the one that helps us. I talked about that a little bit last time. He helps our infirmities, our weak places. For here it says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let's face it, folks, we're deficient because of our sin. But as Jason sang and as I've tried to introduce it, God, the Holy Spirit, is sufficient. He's sufficient above and beyond to help us in our troubles. And interestingly enough, where do people go when they're in trouble? They go to a doctor a lot of times. I'm not going to go into that. They may have a lot of different names behind their given name. But let me tell you, the great physician, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can help you. He's the doctor, okay? We don't know how we should pray as we should or ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. By the way, the Holy Spirit here, it's interesting. The King James Version calls the Holy Spirit itself. You know what else is called it? in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ, and again, when he was conceived by the Virgin, you know, by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, he's called that holy thing. He's unique. He's the God-man. And the Spirit here is the third personality of the Godhead. And he is unique as well. Itself is what it says here. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who we're talking about here is Almighty God, God the Father. He knows because the Holy Spirit is God, and he's at work in the life of the believer. And he's praying for all of us here today that are born-again believers that are indwelt by the Spirit. God has a mechanism for faulty people, even when we don't realize it, that are his children. And his prayers through the Spirit that are uttered before the throne are complete, where ours are not. Let me tell you, there is power in prayer. There is awesome power in the prayer of the Holy Spirit. You could sit around for a long time plumbing the depths of the power of the prayer of the Holy Spirit. But folks, I believe again, this is something, it says there's groanings that we can't even utter that are uttered for us before the throne of God. What a powerful thing. Well, we got to move on, but the Spirit prays for us. Never forget that. Also, the next point, he convicts us of our sin. And I'd like us to go to 1 John 3:19-21. 1 John 3:19-21. Oftentimes people ask, how do I know if I'm a believer for sure? I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have believed I'm a sinner. I have believed not only that he exists, but that he came and died for me and rose again. I have received him into my life. I have new life from him. But what are the evidences? Well, I've given you a few of those along the way. But folks, one of the evidences is when we are convicted of our sin, you know that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit as a believer. If you see the sins that are listed in Scripture and you have no remorse or repercussion about that in your life when you commit a sin, you've either quenched the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. Okay? He convicts us of our sin. What's another way, though, too? We're talking specifically about the Spirit today, that you know you're saved. Well, one of the things that you'll know is if you're involved in fruit production. Right? Because we know this, when we're saved, there has been a change in our life and we have a different perspective. We've become a new creature in Christ. And there should be evidence either of lack of fruit production that the Spirit convicts us of, or evidence of production of fruit and the growth and the fruits of the Spirit, and what again the Spirit has done and how he's changed us. 1 John 3:19-21. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth us not, then we have confidence toward God. So again, the Holy Spirit convicts us through the conscience, if we're saved, of our sin, but he also gives us assurance, you see, that we are saved, that we are born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, the convicting power. And so, our hearts are shown these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other verses, as I said, that we could go, but the Spirit convicts us of our sin, but he also reassures us and gives us evidence of our salvation. That fits right in with sub-point H here, and that is where he bears witness of our relationship as children of God. So back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans 8. And verse 16, he convicts us of sin, but he also bears witness of our salvation, that we're a child of God. Romans 8:16 says the following, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So very, very clear there that that is the case. He not only convicts us, but he gives us witness of our relationship as children of God. And then subpoint I, he teaches us. How many of you are thankful for a teacher? Someone asked me a question this week. It had to do with excavating, actually. And they said, do you suppose that's a field that I could get into? I said, absolutely. They said, did you have to go to some schooling to learn how to do that? I said, absolutely. The school of hard knocks. But what I told them is, it takes a lifetime to learn some of this stuff. I've been learning this stuff since I was a child on the farm and the principles that go along with that. There are schools that you can go to learn some of the technicalities of that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to have a teacher. Now, humanistically speaking, God uses and he endows some people that are able to teach. But folks, let me tell you, the teaching that we get from the Holy Spirit is a class act, because it's a teaching that comes from Almighty God through that personality, and that's a powerful thing. Let me just say this, folks, education is not cheap. And I told this individual, I said, yes, you could be taught, but I said it takes a lifetime. You know, that's the interesting thing too. We ought to always emphasize that children be born again at the earliest possible age. And I'm talking to all of us here today, whether you're 90 or 9 months old. Well, 9 months old is a little young. But the fact of the matter is, it's better to get saved sooner than later. Why is that? It's what I've tried to crudely explain here this morning. Because we can have the privilege of being what? Educated. And the Holy Spirit is the primary teacher. Now again, you can go to school to learn a lot of things. But God, the Holy Spirit, is the greatest teacher that's ever given to us, as he teaches the Word of God to our souls, our hearts. How many people have thanked God today for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit? I mentioned the school of hard knocks. Sometimes the Spirit lets us go through that school of hard knocks. And I'll tell you one other thing. Education, however you get it, is expensive. Whether it's in academia or in the school of hard knocks, it's costly. Let me tell you, I've paid a lot for my education. But let me tell you this, Jesus paid it all for our education. And what's the education that most people want to throw away? It's the things of the Lord. What a shame. But here it is, folks. He teaches us, John 14:26. John 14:26. John 14:26. If someone beats me to these references, you are free to read those. See, there's a bonus here. Some of you that are beginning to get into the group that's called aged, realize we struggle with memory a little bit, don't we? Does anyone else have that problem? Yeah, we do. Well, here it is. Notice here what God's teaching us through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us all things. But also the bonus with that is that he brings all things to your what? Your remembrance. You know what? It's important and it's an imperative that we get alone with the Holy Spirit of God and let him talk to us. I don't mean you necessarily have to get off in a room somewhere or secluded, but you need to be having time to let the Spirit speak to you, to teach you. I believe in all facets of life, if we'll yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, he's the master teacher. And combined through the Word of God, he'll bring these things to reality and he'll show us things. By the way, folks, you don't have to, and it's okay to go to concordances and to commentaries and all the rest of this stuff. But if there's something you really don't understand about Scripture, I'm going to tell you what the right thing is to do. And you can talk to a pastor or a Christian friend for their opinions. But it's to get alone with God and the Word with the Holy Spirit. And he'll reveal these things to you. Because he's the teacher. He's the teacher. How many of you valued teachers that you had in your life? Most few of us did. My favorite teachers, anyone remember? Kim? Mrs. Hopperstead, fifth grade. You had Mrs. Lenning. But she was probably, Mrs. Townsend ranked right up there too in third grade. Good teachers. But I'll tell you what, folks, they were human teachers. The Holy Spirit is a divine teacher. He's the master teacher. Most of us said, I hated school. You know what? I didn't always like it. But I'll tell you, if someone, it's like I said at the L&M Baccalaureate, if I got some of the scholarships given to me, I'd go back at my age. $550,000 in scholarships. Wow. But the point is, do you really appreciate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit? Most people don't. That's the evidence I even see in Christians. They don't want to look at the Word of God or come under the teaching ministry of the Spirit. They want to what? They want to run away. Church is not popular. Bible studies are not popular. Nothing's popular because there's something about it, folks. Satan wants to separate us from the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's always something more important to do. I'm going to tell you what, folks. This is what's important. If you are uneducated, you will be under the power and deception of Satan. But the master teacher, the Holy Spirit, is there to help us. Now, where was I at? John 14, 26. Did I read it? Lonnie read it. That's right. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Do you ever find that in your times of meditation that the Spirit stirs up? Well, this is how this all fits together. See? That's what happens. He's the one that makes the puzzle whole. And my friends, if we don't have the time or we don't have the will to submit to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, it's our loss. And it's a great loss. Because education is expensive. He places things in our memory, he educates us, and he instructs us. And you know what? He helps us when we make mistakes too, doesn't he? And I've made a few. How about you? The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Any of you ever sought guidance or direction on things? Yeah, every hand in the room should be up. I wonder about a lot of things yet, don't you? I don't know the right decisions to make about everything. Some of the time, the Holy Spirit prompts me to do things that I have done, and I've found Him to be very reliable in what He's told me. By the way, sometimes it's better to do nothing than something. Did you hear me on that? What I'm saying is, sometimes it's better to wait. But we're people that are motivated by movement. It's just like if I were to stand here for 2 minutes, you'd say, well, say something. Sometimes preaching is done where you do take a pause when there's something profound that's said and let the Spirit have His time to help us. But folks, we need guidance. Because the Bible says, apart from our salvation, we're lost. Isn't that what it says? We're lost in our trespasses and sins. But if you're searching and I'm searching today for direction in our life, understand the Holy Spirit offers us guidance. It's more than just the Word of God, but it's an unction. It's like that word that's used. He shows us, and He guides us. He gives direction. Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now here in this verse it says led. Think about that. When we think about guidance, we think maybe someone pushing us. Well, we'll get to that in a minute in the next verse. But here, our guide goes before us. That's what the text is saying. The Holy Spirit will take a leadership role in your life. And I'm saying, thank you. I need a leader. He'll put us in the right direction. We will never go wrong listening to the Holy Spirit as He guides us and directs us. Now back to John 16:13, and here's the one about the guidance. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Notice what it says there? All truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit operates, once again, in conjunction with God the Father and God the Son. And He speaks truth to us. And He gives us guidance that is true and is never faulty. You know, I don't use the GPS thing very often unless I'm really in strange territory. See, I haven't come far enough to know that you can't actually plug your phone into the cigarette lighter in a vehicle. If you use GPS, though, and you don't have it plugged in, how long is your phone going to last? Not very long, because every crank and turn in the road, it says, you need to go here, right, Lynn, go there, and the thing's dead. We all need guidance, folks. And the GPS sometimes is faulty. I've heard people tell me, I ended up out in the desert. Just when I needed it the most, I lost my service. I got into Chicago with a semi, and it took me down a one-way street with a low overpass. But let me tell you something, folks. God, the Holy Spirit, will never give you a bum steer. And His energy never runs out. He makes no mistakes. He's the divine guide. 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Folks, if you're concerned about your life today, rely on the Holy Spirit and where it's headed. He'll show you. He knows already. He knows the roads you're going to go down. And He'll show you the way. Enough said. Well, there's never enough said. Anyway, subpoint K, He sanctifies us. Aren't you glad of that? We're in an ugly state as sinners. It's ugly. We don't like to look at our sin. You know, we do a lot of things to cover up our sins. What's that, Lisa? Would someone tell me the other day, you start pointing at people, there's three. I know who it was. It was Chubby or Tubby that told me that. Mark, my son. He and I have a lot. Is it okay to tell this, Grandma? Or, there was a stranger out at our farm the other day, and I said, I want to introduce you to my son, Tubby. And Mark said, isn't that a lot like the pot calling the kettle black? We have a lot of fun sometimes. But folks, we're not pretty. You know, when we get saved, it's a process. It's called progressive sanctification. Sanctification just means it's a learning experience. It's a teaching experience whereby we are delivered from the ugliness of sin, and we're on a path to being separated and to becoming more Christ-like. Let me ask you, how many of us this morning woke up and said, Lord, I want to be more like You today? Don't respond. I hope that we did. But oftentimes, that's the last thing we think about. We're thinking about breakfast. We're thinking about this and that. But folks, it's the agent of the Holy Spirit that separates us unto God and causes us to become more Christ-like. And that is the goal, is it not? Do you want to be like Jesus? We all are quick to say, well, we'll never be like Him. But we can get closer, can't we? Can't we? He purifies us into the image of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Remember Corinth. Rocky place. Oh boy, we're in the book of Corinthians 6 and 7. You want to talk about some controversial chapters at the Wilton Bible Study? Had some great studies here the last week. You look into those too, you'll find what I'm talking about. Someday I'll be preaching again. It all comes around. You know, we're not like the Reformed Church or the RC Church where we have an encyclical. It's the Spirit that kind of shows me where He wants me to go with things, and you folks when you have your requests. But eventually all this will roll around. But what was going on at Corinth? It was a wicked place. But there were people there that were born again, and Paul reminded them of this. And let's look at it here in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6:11. He's talking about all the things that were going on, the sin. And he says, and such, past tense, were some of you, he says. But you are washed, but you are sanctified. You're being grown into a more Christ-like person. But you are justified. By the way, you could preach a whole message on this verse. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And notice there at the end, by or through the agent of the Holy Spirit of God. And then also, 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Corinthians 3:18. This idea of being set apart, becoming more Christ-like. Paul writes here, he says, but we all, he's talking, Paul was not Southern, by the way, even though he did use we all and you all quite frequently in his writings. He said, but we all, he's talking about who here? Born-again believers, transformed believers. He says, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In other words, we're seeing the full picture of Jesus in His Word, in the mirror that is the Word. He says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What he means there by glory to glory, it's the gloriousness of every time the Spirit shows us things from the Word that change us to becoming more Christ-like. It's a little at a time, and it's done through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Folks, if you want to be sanctified further in your life today, we must yield to the ministry and power of God the Holy Spirit through the Word, through the glass, the mirror. Second to the last point, He fills us. Now, this is not the same as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that when we are born again, we are indwelt. That means He takes up a residency within us, the third personality of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. That's a given. But that doesn't mean we're filled. Now, let me just use an example. When you go to get gas, wherever you go to get it, you can't fill the tank unless you take off the cap and stick in the nozzle, right? Well, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He loads us up with the thing of Christ, the things of Christ. And that's the filling of the Spirit. Let me ask us all today, where's your tank today? How's your Holy Spirit gauge? I believe this, too, that even though the Spirit has maybe filled us with something, we can choose not to what? That tank can... it can fluctuate, right? But the goal is what? That we see the tank headed towards full. And we understand that throughout all life, it can never be totally full. But that the needle is what? Slowly moving up. He loads us up with the things of Christ. It's that simple. But we have to take off the cap and let Him stick in the nozzle. And let the pump begin. Here's our text on that, Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians 5:18. See, this is a problem, folks. We mess around leaving the cap on our tank. Or we forget to get the nozzle out of the pump. Or let God get it out and stick it in. Because people are fooling around with all kinds of other things. And don't you understand that? I see it all the time. There's all kinds of nitpicky things that intervene from our close walk with the Lord. Stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's like the Bible says, we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. We mess around with insignificant things and miss out on the big things of God. But Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. We can talk about the drinking part of this later. But what, in essence, what Paul's saying is this. He says, don't fill yourself up with things that are useless. But get your tank opened up and let the nozzle come in from the Holy Spirit and fill you with the things of the Spirit. Because he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Folks, Christians, we need to be discerning about how we handle the things that are put on our plate at all times. Because some of it we ought to take the plate and give it a throw. The things that are of little value that we spend a lot of time with. And we need to let the Spirit fill us. How's that done, my friends? It's done through the Word. It's done through the Word. It's that simple. The Spirit fills us. It's not the same as indwelling. He loads us up with the things of Christ, if we'll let Him. And the last point. I haven't heard much for amens this morning. Now, hold on. Now, you know how I think about that. I do not like that when preachers say, and all God's people, no, that amen's got to come from you, from the Spirit. And maybe we haven't hit on some good points today in the message. But let me just say this. This is the last point, but it's not the end of the story with the ministry of the Spirit, because it's a vast thing that we take for granted and most people are not even aware of in particular. But the last thing today is that, again, the Spirit imparts the gifts. And we've been studying on that in the Sunday evenings and a little bit in the mornings, spiritual gifts. And they're what make the body of Christ complete. I won't hammer on that any further. But never forget, He is the one, He's the imparter of the spiritual gifts for use in the body of Christ. Let me just say this morning. Very likely, if a church is deficient, and I believe every church is deficient to a greater or lesser extent, but all are deficient, it's because, again, we have not let the Holy Spirit have free reign in the members of that body that make up the local church. I really believe that because it's what the Scriptures teach. But He's the imparter of gifts. Romans 12:3 through 6, our last turn this morning. Romans 12:3 through 6. And I've taught on this very recently, but never forget, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believers in the church. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think seriously or soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Do you take seriously what God's given you through the Holy Spirit in a Spirit-filled gift and how it revolves in the church? Oh, I'm tired today, Pastor John. There's other things going on today, Pastor John. Pastor John saying to others the same thing. But this is serious stuff. He says, take it seriously because you've been given a spiritual gift. And the use of that gift is determined, we heard this on a Sunday night, by the measure of faith that you have. Maybe God gave you a teaching ministry. And you say, well, I don't know if I can take that seriously. I may not be able to be committed. I don't think I'm a very good teacher. By the way, Paul just said, don't think too highly of yourself, but think highly of Christ. Think highly of the Spirit, what He may do through you. Okay? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. In other words, again, it's by measure of faith. If you trust God for the use of those gifts, He'll do dynamic stuff through you and I. Yeah, even someone like me. Faulty. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same position or office, but everyone is important to God. And these are endued things by the Holy Spirit. They're endowed and endued both. So we being many, verse 5 says, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're interconnected through the bequest of the spiritual gifts. Fruitland Baptist Church, whether it's sufficient or insufficient, has everything necessary by the endowment of the Spirit to be dynamic. Yeah, Fruitland Baptist Church. Having then, this last verse, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And it goes on through that text, and we've talked about that before. But folks, these are endowments of the Holy Spirit of God. And they can make a church into a Christ-like operation that has dynamic opportunities to be used of God. But it all starts where? Individually. And if we don't acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit, my friends, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in some of those things that I gave you, and there's more, and the security, God's gift of the ministry of the Spirit, it's a wonderful thing. Well, there's 3 weeks of teaching. What a ministry the Spirit has. Hopefully, what we'll see in this in the days to come is that we'll be more aware of what the Spirit is doing and our interaction with Him. Are we squandering what He's given, the securities that we have in Him, or are we running with Him? I want to run with Him. I think we emphasize the Father and Son more than the Holy Spirit. Not that any of them should be de-emphasized, but the Spirit has relevance, and He is important. So my question again as we close, have you responded to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life? I trust today that answer is yes, but if it's not, I trust that we're coming to the Lord right now and saying, I want to be engaged with your program, and I know it's the Spirit that's a catalyst. I want to see change in my life, and I'm saying those about me. I want to see it different. And as I've said, and I say every Sunday in some way, shape, or form, if you're being called this morning to be saved, today's the day. 2 Corinthians 6:2. What are you waiting for? Now is the appointed time. That's how you get saved. It isn't a decision that you make. You're going to be called. And you're going to have the decision to either what? To yield to it or to reject it. Maybe today the Spirit is calling on all of us in this room to make a change in our walk with God. I don't know, but I know He's active. And I know that if we quench Him, if we throw, you know, the Holy Spirit, one of the ways He was displayed at Pentecost was in flaming tongues of fire. But I'll tell you what, water, cold water puts out the fire. If we quench, that's what it means to quench something. I could talk to you about how you harden steel, but we don't have time today. But I'll tell you what happens when we quench our hearts to the Spirit in water, they get hard. Just like when you treat steel for hardness, for brittleness, it's what it's called. We need to check that stuff out today, folks. But let me just say in closing, don't restrict the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let him have free reign in our lives and in our church today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals or on the screen. Very simple. 820. Toward the back of the book. Isn't it interesting that some of the most beautiful things are things we don't pay any attention to? Yes, let's stand if we're able. Some of the things that are right in front of us daily, we what? We ignore them. We don't even look. Today, as we consider the Holy Spirit, God gave us something beautiful. This is His guarantee that walks within us as the believer. It's a beautiful thing. How you respond today to the Lord is between you and yourself. But I just say this, no matter what, everyone in this room today ought to have a response. Mine is, first of all, Lord, forgive me. Draw me nearer, draw me closer to you this day. But you know in your life, and I know in mine, where we need to be. But God's waiting today, and the Spirit may be prompting you to act today. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't get a hardened heart. Something beautiful, and we're going to be dismissed. I'm going to ask Jason to dismiss us with prayer in advance here today. But we have a wonderful thing, the third personality of God that dwells with the believer and is active in this world. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, God understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. My hope for you today is that you have a wonderful afternoon in the Lord, but that today He would draw us closer to Him, and we just experience the power of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jason, if you'll close, please.